Hello and welcome back to Manga Kaiwa.
Yeah. And again, we're back after a little bit of a hiatus. You know, just a little bit of a hiatus. Sorry, we have stuff going on, but I think the thing that I know most about this podcast, and I have to say, one of the things I'm proudest about is that we always come back, you know, in some way or another, as far as, you know, things have gone. Soon we will have been recording for a full year, which is pretty freaking exciting. Although we're not quite there yet. You know, we still have to wait 2 to 3 more months until we can say that. But I mean, yeah. 9 months is something else.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about that too, because I know that I think we started in May of last year.
Late May.
We're getting on a full year. So yeah, that is a milestone, no doubt. I mean,
let's hold off. You know, we're just hinting at it, but you know, because like we're not quite there yet. But I am really excited that we've been able to keep up so long. Despite all the hiatuses, I think, you know, we're kind of just coming back at it, which we, you know, I'm not going to make a stupid hiatus joke again. I'm sorry. Those are overused.
We got the classic hiatus.
Uh-huh. Alrighty.
Yeah.
So today we have a discussion topic because although it's been a while, the last recording that we did was a top 10. So this time it's more of a discussion-based video, which, you know, it's as usual. It's going to be a bit snappier, a bit more to the point, but we're definitely going to be talking about a topic that I really, really, really have been wanting to use as a topic for our episode for a while. Ben, would you mind introducing the topic for us?
Yes. So we will be talking, we'll be doing an in-depth discussion of Musashi versus Inshun, both fights from Vagabond.
Yes. So this is one of the earlier fights of Vagabond. And I mean, it's, in my opinion, really where Vagabond shows its true colors. Although the first Yoshioka arc does happen before this, firstly, it's pretty brief. And secondly, I think it doesn't really reflect completely. Obviously, it's still Vagabond. It's still Inoue and it's still genius. But it doesn't really reflect, I think, the true beauty of Vagabond fights as they are throughout the rest of the series. Obviously, Inshun versus Musashi, even though I'm kind of referring to it as a fight that does introduce us to this magic that Vagabond has in its fights, this philosophical, mental, and physical clash, right, that we see throughout basically almost every fight that comes afterward. I think what's really important to note is that it's still early. It's not like this is the final, the peak, and it just doesn't go any further. This is the beginnings of it all, and I think it really is beautiful in that sense, because you can see Inoue growing and making his fights even more beautiful, but still in the same way as Inshun versus Musashi was. Even if it's the first fight, it still kind of lays the groundwork for the way that Inoue writes fights later on as well, which I think is really cool. And that's really why I wanted to talk about this, because it's also not short fights, these two, especially compared to some of the later fights. I know Ben hasn't completed Vagabond as far as how much is available to read right now. I have, so I'm going to definitely be trying to keep spoiler-free as of the end of the Hozoin arc, which is basically where Ben has left off, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that's about where I left off, the end of the Hozoin arc. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think from my perspective, as someone who hasn't really read that much farther, I think that what we see in these fights are kind of like Musashi sort of like continuing his development, sort of like of the development he started when he, you know, was kind of like reborn as Musashi from Takezo. And, you know, he had that like kind of like, which was kind of like, you know, of course, encouraged by Takuan and the lessons he, you know, sort of taught him about life and, you know, and reasons for living, like how to live, you know, like a human being, basically, not just a mindless beast.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing I did mention to Ben as we were discussing sort of how we were going to go about this episode was that I having read all of Vagabond, I know, and those who are listening and have also completed Vagabond also know, that Musashi obviously changes immensely as the series goes on, especially, you know, in comparison to how he is even at the end of the second fight with Inshun, right? And so that's obviously a spoiler territory, which I'm not going to try to get into too much. But I guess the reason I'm mentioning it right now is because I'm definitely going to be trying to, without spoiling, which is obviously a task, to say the least, look at this fight in the lens of how is Musashi now in the current story, right? So I'm just mentioning that. I guess you guys will see what I mean once we get to the point where that is actually like something I do. But I'm definitely going to try to kind of just also show maybe the negatives of this arc, like on Musashi as a character. Like, because obviously when we complete the Hozoin arc, it's very kind of positive, if you understand what I'm saying, because, well, Musashi's won. He's triumphed over an enemy that beat him like completely, utterly, in their first encounter. But I'm going to try to, I guess, shed some light on how it's not all glory in that moment, especially because of what we learn later on in the series. Yeah. All right. Well, so let us get into fight one. Yeah. So obviously this is right off of the heels of the first Yoshioka arc, which was very intense, even though it's quite short in regard, like in comparison to a lot of the later arcs, and it's, even this one actually, the Hozoin arc, it's very short. I think it ends at volume 3 or something like that, something crazy, or volume 4 even. I don't know. In any case, Musashi has just made his big debut as the rambunctious Ronin who challenged the Yoshioka themselves, right? So he's already being talked about. And I think, you know, he's very much riding off of the high of having gone up against these giants of the samurai world, right? And so he's obviously hot-headed. I mean, and that's nothing new. Even if he hadn't just had this encounter with the Yoshioka, as we know, Musashi and Takezo before him, he's a very hot-headed person, and he's overconfident. There's not really any other way to put it. And I think that's definitely something that Inshun exposes like crazy in this first fight. Actually, Ben, I was going to ask you, so what do you think actually of Inshun and his arrogance? Because I think that's something that's not talked about a lot in regards to this fight, how similar yet different Inshun and Musashi are when they're encountered here.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, that's something good, but I think that, you know, that aspect of Inshun is, I think, I mean, it's pretty, you know, brought up like within the story itself, I think by Inei about, you know, on the fact that, you know, I mean, Inshun is obviously this extremely gifted prodigy who is, you know, a master of his craft, but he's never had that edge to him where he's had to, you know, put his life on the line and,
exactly,
you know, face an opponent that's made him do that, you know, that just hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and with Musashi, you know, Musashi of course presents himself as an opportunity for Inshun to do that, even though, you know, in the first fight it is obviously very one-sided in terms like of like Inshun, like, you know, dominating over Musashi, but even definitely, still, you know, Inshun sees, you know, Musashi's resolve to like win at any cost. So like, yeah, you know, it, I mean, and that from that point on, you know, Inshun sort of like begins, is, I guess, transform, is sort of development into like, the mentality that we see him in the, you know, the second fight, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think,
yeah,
the interesting thing is that, you know, there's a lot of parallels and I guess what you could call reversals of roles throughout this whole thing, not just between, yeah, Inshun and Musashi, but also, and obviously this is kind of getting a bit ahead of ourselves because it happens at the last part of fight one, but it obviously is a very clear parallel to Musashi kind of terrorizing the Tsujikaze gang and Tema Tsujikaze at the end of,
yeah,
the kind of first, I guess, sub-arc of Vagabond itself, which is basically where he meets Akemi and her sister. But first, obviously, he has to battle this bandit, and he completely dominates over him in a very, very similar way. And Inoue makes sure to point that out, literally, that, you know, Inshun does to Musashi later on. I think that's really interesting. I mean, obviously, it's very obviously laid out there for us, but I think it's for a reason, right? Because you're basically seeing, it's just slaps you in the face. Musashi is an arrogant, naive, young spirit. I mean, he knows basically nothing about the world, and he's very self-centered. He's not in the same state of wisdom and appreciation for thinking, if you get what I'm saying, as he is, especially in later parts of the story. And as he's just known as a historical figure. I mean, like, when you think of Miyamoto Musashi, you think of, like, a great philosopher as well as a swordsman. This is not that Musashi. And for good reason.
Yeah.
Very early on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I mean, I think that, you know, when Musashi is kind of like, you know, Takuzo is like sort of reborn as Musashi, I think you do sort of see. I mean, I actually have read the I've also started reading the book Musashi. Yeah, so I guess my perspective could be like a little like biased by that, but I think that, you know, when we Musashi at that point, you know, he starts to get this appreciation for life, you know, and like he for living as a human being. But even so, he still obviously isn't at that point where he fully realizes the importance of philosophy as well as martial skill.
Yeah.
He's very much biased in one direction.
Like, well, I think what's really important to note is that, like, he's a young boy. He's not much older than I. I think he's probably just as old or even younger, right? I can't remember. I think he's like 17 at this point or something like that, or just a bit older, something in that range. In any case, my point is that essentially Musashi sort of like, he's very tunnel visioned and singularly focused on what he cares about. But what I definitely think is important, especially in regards to how Inshun dominates Musashi, is the mention, I don't know if you remember this, Ben, but of the demon, remember? So like the demon that's kind of waits and basically that people take refuge in when they're afraid and when they're
at the
end, right? I think that's a super, super important point, especially the way, you know, it really poetically lays it out for us.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, so like the demon is, because I do remember it, but the demon itself represents fear, right?
Well, I mean, obviously that's subjective, but that's sort of how I interpret it. I guess for me, it's more like the demon is sort of like what people become once they kind of just accept that they're afraid. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like the hateful, spiteful, negative kind of energy that you assume when you've basically kind of just given into fear. Which I guess is either like, it's just a beast basically, is I guess kind of my interpretation of that. It's like the fight or flight, which is exactly kind of the choice that Musashi is faced with. And, you know, as surprising as it is, it's kind of obvious. I mean, he chooses flight. And I think that's really what is so kind of interesting, but also just at the same time, like, well, what did you expect? Kind of that kind of vibe about the fact that Musashi just runs away after this, that Musashi, as much as he desires for the title of the strongest, and how far he is away from that, he's still a beast to a certain extent. And I think that definitely calls back to, like, you know, the whole demon child comparisons and all that, which were kind of very prevalent in the Takezo arc, when basically everybody in Miyamoto Village was just calling him like a basically nothing more than an animal, which is sort of what he's doing here. And sorry, I wanted to mention one more thing, which is that Inshun does also mention a lot about how Musashi's strikes and his fighting style are like, they're like desperation, but the greatest strength you can get from desperation, which is like, I think he says something like, it's as if your life is behind every single one of your blows, right? So that's kind of what Inshun comments. And I think it's just, I think first of all, obviously that piques Inshun's interest, because I'm sure he's aware, just like Ine has commented, that that's sort of what he's lacking. It's the kind of the life or death situation. And that's, I think, why he hungers for victory over Musashi in his first fight even more. But also, it's like, it's almost as if, yes, the revelation at the end of the Takezo arc when Musashi becomes Musashi is important, but it's still really just a change of name. It's not like Musashi's strikes and his fighting style are like, they're like desperation, but the the greatest strength you can get from desperation, which is like, I think he says something like, it's as if your life is behind every single one of your blows, right? So that's kind of what Inshun comments. And I think it's just, I think first of all, obviously that piques Inshun's interest, because I'm sure he's aware, just like Ine has commented, that that's sort of what he's lacking. It's the kind of the life or death situation. And that's, I think, why he hungers for victory over Musashi in his first fight even more. But also, it's like, it's almost as if, yes, the revelation at the end of the Takezo arc when Musashi becomes Musashi is important, but it's still really just a change of name. It's not like Musashi has really become Musashi yet. He's still very much Takezo in the sense that he's still very reckless, very, I guess, disregarding of life. I mean, there's no subtlety in his sword swings, is I guess the point that I'm trying to make, right? He's, and I think that's especially one of the things that I, in retrospect, appreciate about how Inoue makes Takezo wield a wooden sword for like a large part of the early part of Vagabond, right? Like, I remember reading it and I was like, get a real sword, gosh darn it. Like, yeah. I want you to get a real sword, yes. Right? And it just doesn't happen. But I think it's for good reason, right? Because it's like that blunt kind of like lack of subtlety that you can only, and subtlety is really what a sword is in the words of Dracul Mihawk. Yes, I am reading One Piece. right? And so like, a sharp edge allows you to cut precisely and gracefully. A wooden sword is not really the same thing. It's very much like Musashi is right now. It's just very blunt and kind of aggressive without a lot of technique. I think is really interesting. Yeah. Sorry, that was a bit of a long rant, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that Musashi is still very much Takezo in this scene, which, I mean, it's pretty frustrating, but I mean, for good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially the point, because, you know, at this point, he obviously has begun his transformation, you know, his development into, you know, fully becoming Musashi, but yeah, he's still very much that same person, you know, he was at the beginning, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't consider this a spoiler, but I mean, probably to a certain extent, but I mean, in many ways, he's still becoming Musashi in even the last chapter that we have gotten, Vagabond. You know, he's still struggling with that, which I think is a beauty of this story, because Musashi, in many ways, the idea of Musashi, the idea that Takuan kind of implants in Takezo, or Musashi, however you want, of Musashi, quote unquote, is a bit of an ideal. It's a bit like almost like a deity, like a perfect, like almost like a Buddha, if you get what I'm saying, which obviously is a comparison that you could draw to Takuan and stuff like that. But it just, it's something that it's very hard to accomplish. It's almost like an enlightened one, which is very much how Musashi is seen in the modern day, like through the literature that he wrote and the legends that, you know, are talked about of him, right? And of course it would take a while. Of course it would take 300 plus chapters. Like in that sense, it's still happening now. And, you know, whatever you want to think of as what it comes after the last chapter Inoue gave us. Uh-huh. So you're crying in a corner for now. Hiatus for me.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry. No, let's not get into it.
All right. So I guess, do we want to get into the second fight now?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, I kind of ranted a bit over there. So Ben, do you want to kind of initiate the discussion on fight two?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what's interesting about this fight is that it's literally night and day between the first fight, because obviously the first fight takes place in the day and this is during the night, so you get literal representation of it. But you know, there's also like, I mean, like you were saying earlier, it's like this subtle role reversal, because you see in this fight, you know, Musashi is definitely more of the calm one, the calm and composed, whereas Inshun is just really like seriously on edge. He's just, you know, he's seeing how Musashi is just like exhibiting this completely different aura than he did in their last fight. Not this, you know, brutal animosity, but this calm, composed resolve.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's really, really, you know, it was really, you know, spectacular to see that sort of like contrast between them.
And so what I kind of failed to mention on our discussion of fight one was the yell that Musashi kind of does at the beginning of their kind of stare down and then their eventual clash, right? So he almost like yells, like he shouts, but it's almost like sort of like a territorial kind of like afraid yell, if you get what I'm saying. It's almost like he's trying to intimidate in response to him intimidating Musashi, if you get what I'm saying, right? So I think that's really interesting, but it definitely does go back to here because I'm not completely sure about this. First of all, I think that Inshun actually does do the exact same thing to Musashi in their second fight, their second bout. But it's like, it's again, that's the whole night and day thing that you mentioned earlier. But I think what really kind of strikes me here is that it's almost like in the first fight, Musashi's aggressiveness, his bestial kind of fighting style, was a reflection of that fear, that demon, right? And then this fight, it's almost as if he's sort of conquered that demon. But I think what's so interesting to note is that he's conquered that demon here, right? It's not like he never, I mean, I guess this is a spoiler, but not really. I mean, how unrealistic would that be? It's not like Musashi doesn't encounter this demon again later on in the story. Not the exact same demon, but I guess fear, in quotes. You know, of course he's afraid in later situations of the story, but here it's very much kind of like in this fight, in this moment, he has completely dominated fear. And in a way, he's won before the battle's even started with Inshun. Which I think is also what's so nice about the stare down. Can we talk about the stare down?
Yeah, the stare down, yeah.
How few actual clashes there are in this fight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it just does feel like, you know, one of those, you know, classical Westerns, right? The Western duel, or, you know, they're both, you know, the stare down happens and then only then, like, you know, and the, like the shot just, you know, it's a flash really. So like, yeah, I just really appreciate like that aspect of it. But
like I remember before I read Vagabond hearing about how philosophical it was and how that could be an obstacle for some readers, right? They would be like, what the heck am I reading? I'm not entertained by this. I'm not engaged by this. But I was like, what? This is so freaking tense. How can you not like stay hooked on this? You know, I guess, of course, there are some people who are just, you know, they're just have a different kind of preference in terms of what they like to, I guess, entertain themselves with, right? But for me, this was really kind of like, I felt everything that they were saying. Like, I remember just feeling like every single word on the page is reverberating at me. I mean, it was pretty crazy. Yeah. I'm thinking, what did you think of the art in the scene? Like, especially in comparison to, well, I don't know if you can really compare it to the first bout, but what did you think of like the art in the scene? Obviously it's Vagabond, it's beautiful, but like specifically in this scene.
Yeah, I think that what Inoue does with the art really well here is that like, I think what, one thing I think Inshun notes is that like, Musashi almost seems taller now.
Bigger, right?
Bigger, yeah. And I think that actually is portrayed pretty well through the art, because it's not like, I mean, it's kind of subtle, but like, I feel like you do see it. So I think that, yeah. So I think that was one thing. I think I noted that the art portrayed well.
Yeah. What I thought was really exceptional about the art in this scene was the shadows. So there's like, they're around a bonfire, right? That's where Musashi meets up with Inshun. They're around a bonfire. And like everything is very, very contrasted. Like there are very dark shadows and very strong kind of bright areas. And that just like exaggerates the like the terror on Inshun's face and the confidence on Musashi's face like tenfold. It's pretty crazy. I think that's like a really, really awesome thing. And obviously it does intensify the standoff even more in that sense. I thought that was really cool. But what I kind of want to ask you is, do you think that the whole standoff was actually necessary? Because in my opinion, right, Musashi has already won once Inshun has first become intimidated. He just has to land the blow.
Yeah.
But could he have, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think, obviously I love the standoff, but just in a technical sense, do you think it was actually necessary?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good question. I think that I think, on a technical level, maybe not, I guess in general, not necessarily, but I think that for Musashi as a person, I think that, you know, I mean, coming off the heels of the first fight, I think that even though Musashi, you know, had this, you know, common collected edge to him, where like, you know, he, you know, he was able to like, you know, make Inshun, you know, I guess lose his balance and like lose his, you know, confidence. Yeah. I think that even still, Musashi mentally needed that stare down this to like kind of fully size up. Like, you know,
I get what you're saying, though. I get what you're saying. It's almost as if only until he's fully kind of just, I guess, asserted his dominance, he can actually go in and make the strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many things to talk about. Especially like the sort of like the how Ine is just like so sad when he's watching this fight. I remember it.
Yeah.
Like one thing that I really remember is when Musashi eventually lands the blow, and I guess I'm sort of fast forwarding right now, but and downs Inshun. Inshun is unconscious, and his I remember kind of like really tripping when I just saw this. Wait, what? His ghost is coming out of his body.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you remember that? Yeah, and then like,
yeah,
how Ine looks so freaking like depressed when he sees that. You know, it's almost as if, you know, yes, this is exactly what he taught Musashi to do. After Musashi's first bout with Inshun, remember he ran into the woods and he would like meet up with Ine every day or something like that, and he would lose to him again and again and again. Isn't that what that's I'm not saying anything wrong there, am I? Is that kind of how you remember it as well?
Yeah. I mean, you were saying how yeah, I think that's pretty much how I remember. Like, I got like in the sense of like you see the ghosts of Inshun, and then
I remember that. That's I think where the flashback happens with with Inshun's, you know, who he really is, which is obviously a huge topic. So Inshun is revealed in this, and this is a spoiler for people who have not gotten here yet. Sorry, I should have made that clear. But Inshun is revealed to not originally have been called Inshun, but rather Shinosuke, and that he was actually taken into the Hozoin Temple as a spear monk, a warrior monk, at a very young age. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that he suffered some extremely traumatic events, which I guess it's implied he sort of unconsciously buried away and forgot, like intentionally. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think like that's where one of the most important points of this fight comes in, which is what we learn about Musashi's relationship with his father, Munisai. I mean, first of all, obviously Munisai is just a complete idiot. He's a complete like just poopy man, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's more than that. The fact that he is a poopy man, quote unquote, is the reason why I think Musashi is the way he is to a great extent. It has hugely influenced how Musashi became the person he is today, or Chakezo especially. So what I want to talk about now, Ben, is like how, even though Musashi wins this fight, it's almost as if he's sort of just lost himself deeper and deeper into this desire for strength. Whereas Inshun has gained something extremely valuable, which is he's confronted his buried memories, which is hugely important. I think that's definitely something I really, really appreciate about this fight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that one thing I actually I've wanted to mention is that, like, you know, before you see Inshun, like his ghost coming out of his body, I noticed that, like, you know, after, like, you know, Musashi strikes Inshun down, yes, he goes into this like fury, right? Like, he goes into this rage, but like, he's like, I think, I'm not sure, because like the manga makes it a bit unclear, but I think what he's doing is like, he's hitting Inshun while he's down, isn't he? Or
I don't know if he actually struck Inshun. I think he was about to, but he stopped himself, or he struck him once or twice and then didn't anymore, because Musashi was clearly a bit terrified by his reaction, which we can talk about that later. But it's just crazy how like the look of confidence melts off his face, ironically, after he's won the fight, you know what
I'm
saying? Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I guess we could get into that now, actually. Like, just the fact that I feel it's almost as if Musashi was confident during the battle, but as soon as the battle ends, all his insecurities just flood back onto him. And it's especially where I think the flashback with Munisai is really important, or at least what we've gotten so far in the story, because we get more, obviously, later on, which you haven't gotten to yet. But yeah, I mean, Munisai, I guess just to give a bit of context, is Musashi's father, but also someone who was called one of, if not the strongest warrior at the time, in his era. I think it was mentioned like he held up against freaking Yoshioka, the original Yoshioka, the father of Denshichiro and Sojiro. Like, I think like he won like a few of three rounds or something like that. They had like three rounds and he won at least one of them, I remember, which is pretty crazy. I mean, Yoshioka being the man he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm actually, so like, I kind of, because I know that, yeah, I mean, I know, obviously Musashi has that flashback with Munisai in this fight, but I'm trying to remember like exactly what happened in it. Like, with,
you know. This is where it gets tricky, because I don't know if this is where this happens. I know that in one of the flashbacks, and I'm like 90% sure it's in this arc. Hopefully I don't spoil anything, but it kind of hints at that this fear, that, and especially like in regards to that demon, although that connection isn't directly made by Inoue, it's very heavily implied because it's basically in the same context. Basically, Munisai was the strongest, but he was just afraid that someone would take that title away from him, that he would be challenged and defeated. And it wasn't even about battle anymore. It was just about him being paranoid. Paranoid that like even his son would seek to kill him, you know, only for him to just gain that title back from him. And I think that's like, you know, really where you're like, wow. And I think that's maybe something that comes to Musashi when he's almost about to, or, you know, again, the manga isn't clear about it. He has already like hit Inshun when he's on the ground already. Like when he stopped himself, I remember that look of kind of like shock and kind of like just almost like disgust or terror, almost, and I mean, at least this is how I interpret it, towards himself at the end of the fight. It's almost as if he's won now, but the fear is like back. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, is he really down? Sort of like, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but like,
yeah.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, you know, like all of that, you know, development he was, you know, he was undertaking for that second fight. You know, it ultimately kind of resulted in, you know, Musashi not really, I guess, not really taking that development with him to the fullest, but sort of using it as this facade, as this mask used in that fight, that would just instantly melt away once he's won.
Yeah, because you kind of have to think, right? Like, what if that calm, collected kind of facade, let's just call it like that, that he assumed during the second bout with Inshun, was really something that he was able to maintain because he enjoyed the idea that he was basically dominating Inshun. Like, what if it wasn't really like a genuine kind of calm, collected kind of control of the battle? Because I think something that Musashi does repeat a few times in this battle is that he can see through Inshun. I think it's almost as if like his spirit is like just kind of like it's completely just washed over Inshun and there's nothing Inshun can do against him. I'm kind of wondering if it's almost like a sadistic kind of way that Musashi is sort of just holding. Maybe that's another reason why the stare down goes so long. Just going back to what we were talking about earlier. Maybe Musashi just enjoys dominating over Inshun and is kind of torturing him to a certain extent because of like, you know, again, it's so becoming more evident and evident throughout the stories that I read, how important, you know, the effects of parenting are on characters. And I mean, obviously that's a reflection of how it is in real life, you know, but I think that's definitely partially at least an impact of how Munisai treated his son, Takezu at the time. And how basically, you know, he basically has kind of learned to value power, but in a very sick and twisted way. And I think that's very, very Takezu and not very much Musashi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like the demon child energy coming back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a pretty kind of nice twist at the end for Minoue, I think, like making it not like this kind of cliche, undisputed victory. Because as I said a few minutes back, Inchun has gained something massive from this conflict, which is that he was able to recall those memories that he had buried because of the trauma that they caused him. But in doing so, I think he was able to overcome that kind of arrogance that in a way Musashi only superficially overcame when he challenged Inchun again in the second bout, right? Like, you get what I'm saying? It's almost like Musashi is still the arrogant, naive kid he was before he encountered Inchun. And Inchun was the same way, but now he's sort of like really, and again, we don't really have a lot of material to go off of because it's basically we see Inchun like and Musashi resting, and then it's kind of the Hozoin arc is over and the Yagyu arc begins. But really, it's almost like, you know, Inchun has gained something and grown more than Musashi has from this fight, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's mentioned a lot in stories and also just in media about, you know, again, how parenting can like literally stunt your ability to just learn from situations. And it's just like, if you're, you know, you, the way that you've been raised is just that important. And I mean, to say that Takeza was raised would be kind of like a weird overstatement, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't really raised. He was more like a child in the woods, which again, gives us some insight into why he is how he is. And I think it's so interesting. Again, I'm not going to make any kind of spoilers. And this is sort of, I guess, we move into the third and final part of this recording, which is just our discussion of the consequences of this and like what everybody's left with, which I guess we've already kind of covered extensively with Inchun and Musashi and comparing what they gained from this fight. But in the later arcs of the story, we do get more flashbacks, you know, especially between Musashi and his father, but then also just Musashi alone on the mountain. And just, we really learn how he really revered power. He was just so obsessed with it. And, you know, I think the complexity in this is that it's not like he was just doing nothing the whole time. He was doing beautiful things. His swordsmanship was, it's unbelievable. He's a talent. He's a prodigy in swordsmanship. But at the same time, it's like, it sort of brings up that question that I think Musashi asks himself, which is like, you know, how do I become the strongest? Which is a question that he asks in his arc and is very important in the later arcs of the story. I think in a way, that's sort of what this arc represents. It's Musashi beginning his journey towards the strongest without really knowing what it is, because according to Inchun, he'll only know once he gets there. And, you know, he does get that answer eventually, and it's not what he expected, which I don't think is a spoiler because it's very heavily foreshadowed here, which I think is definitely pretty beautiful. I think this is what makes Vagabond a beautiful story to me. It's this whole, like, I'm not bored, even though these people are just talking about this meta stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So, I mean, Ben, I just want to ask you, like, are you looking forward to, like, I guess, what do you expect from the rest of Vagabond? Like, I want to ask you that.
Yeah, I think that, I do expect to see more, like, really philosophical moments where, like, Musashi is still, we kind of get to see his development and, like, of his ideas of, you know, what true strength means and, like, how to actually become stronger. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess I'm expecting to see sort of, I mean, of course, like, obviously more of that aspect. But,
Yeah, I mean, course, that's definitely a huge part of it. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, and of course, like, Musashi obviously facing, like, more challenges with, like, these, like, really strong opponents and, like, you know, having to, like, you know, obviously overcome them in some way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And growing as a person as a result, really.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I don't want to spoil anything, but in the later, you know, in the later arcs of Vagabond, we see the Musashi that we kind of experienced in arcs like the Hozoin arc, which we've discussed today, in a very different light than how we saw him when he was actually there, when we were actually reading him fighting Inchu. I mean, the later arcs of Vagabond really do a good job at making you question what really happened in these fights and what were the consequences of these fights, especially in comparison to what you thought they were at the beginning. And I think what I think is so kind of sad, but also confusing and frustrating about this is like, what was this fight? And, you know, was it just like Musashi being a naive, arrogant kid and just doing things that, you know, were not really, I guess, thought through in a, I guess to say it vaguely, because again, I don't want to spoil. But in a way, I have to think, all of these experiences have culminated into what Musashi eventually becomes. And I think that is why they are important. Even if it's a very naive way of thinking about things, and, you know, Musashi's kind of just doing dumb, arrogant stuff. At the same time, those are the experiences that culminate into the wise sword saint that, you know, he is at the end of the story. But also how he's seen throughout history, which I think is a really beautiful thing. Because again, that's one of the edges that Vagabond has as a story, is that it's based off of an actual person who isn't really like a clearly defined, like we don't know a lot about this person. It's a person from the Edo period, right? It's a person from freaking like the 17th century, right? Like we don't know a lot about him. Or the 16th century as well. But I guess it's like, you know, it gives Inoue and all of the people like Eiji Yoshikawa, who wrote the novel Musashi, which Ben has read partially, it gives them a lot of playing room and freedom in how they write this character. But also it's just like, it's like, you know, we do know enough that this person is an exceptional person. It is a person that influenced many people and has engraved his place in history as a result. And there's a reason for that. And I think knowing that is like a, you know, in a dramatic irony kind of sense, a really important part of the experience of reading Vagabond. Like, I don't think reading Vagabond would have been the same without knowing that Musashi was an actual person, like an actual like legend, which I really, really, really appreciate about, especially in this fight.
Yeah.
More to come on Vagabond in later episodes, no doubt. I mean, it's not a series you cannot talk about if you're kind of like a discussion platform like we are. we gotta keep up though the meta sword stories, the berserk, yes. The Vinland sagas, the Vagabond.
Vagabonds, yeah.
It's not possible without it. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I don't know if you, sorry, I didn't want to kind of ignore if you had any kind of things you wanted to add, Ben, to the whole conversation. Or did we kind of cover everything that you would have wanted to cover as well?
I think so, yeah. I mean, like you were saying, I think that, like, you know, like having this knowledge that, I mean, Musashi was this real person that, you know, different like artists have like interpreted in their own fashions, but just like having that knowledge that he was a real person, and you're not just reading about this fictional character, but rather this like interpretation of what this person did in his life, I think it's just adds like this whole new like light to the story, really. Definitely
agree. Yeah, well then, It was really nice talking about this, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. I'm not even going to say it's in a week because I don't want to kind of pigeonhole us in any way, but we'll try. And yeah, await a top 10 for the next video. That is something we can say.
Yeah. Keep